blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome once again to the Hamilton Corner. I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson, sitting in for Abraham Hamilton III. My pleasure, my honor to do so. I didn't know whether I would be talking to you again before that fateful day coming up in now just 4 days, the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. But aren't you glad to be alive and to be able to witness this historic occasion? It's really an amazing moment. I mean, think of all the generations of Americans that have gone before us who have not seen this. I mean, this is a quarter of a millennium that our country has existed, and we are the ones who get to bear witness to it. It's exciting, and praise God for it. And I know all the naysayers are out there, and they're talking, and they're you know, they're being negative about our country, and they're not going to celebrate the 4th. Well, you know, I remind them that there are planes and ships leaving every day. And you have the perfect freedom and right to get on one and hit on out and to not come back. I mean, really, you know, I do not understand, folks, why people allow themselves to be miserable in a country that they hate, when they could go somewhere else where they can find all the satisfaction, I guess, and fulfillment that they think they'll find. Go for it. I mean, my goodness, don't worry, be happy, as the song used to say. You don't go somewhere where you will be happy. But I'll tell you what, I am happy as a clam at being a citizen of the United States of America. I'm not going anywhere. You know? No, indeed. Not me. They can all leave if they want, but I will still be here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you very much. And don't mind saying, grateful to God, grateful to our founding fathers, and grateful to all those veterans who have shed their blood and given their lives to help secure the freedom that God has given us. So I'll tell you, I look forward to this great day with excitement. As you all know, I'm doing a truth tour, and I am going to be traveling all over the country talking about facts about American history you were never taught. And so, in fact, as a matter of fact, let me mention, I will be in Vicksburg, Mississippi on Sunday, July 25th. Let me give you the details on that. For those of you listening to me in Mississippi right now, or be somewhere in the area, I'd love to see you there on Sunday, July the 26th. Let's see. Not exactly sure what time the services are. I don't have that in front of me, but I know I will be speaking that morning at that service at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Vicksburg, Mississippi. So looking forward to that, and looking forward to seeing some of you there. Please come out. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to have an opportunity to say hello to you. And of course, I will be preaching the Word of God, but I'm going to be giving some historical context for the United States of America and sharing some things with you that I know most Americans don't know, because they're certainly not being taught in our schools today. As a matter of fact, I think I shared this with you all last night. The most read and promoted book on American history is Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. And it is nothing but a lying polemic designed to teach people to hate our country, or teach them to want a revolution, or in the words of Barack Obama, a fundamental transformation of the United States of America. As I've said many times before, we don't need the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. We need to restore the fundamentals that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. So I hope I'll see you in Vicksburg, and I'll be other places. But look, if you'd like for me to come to your church, your organization, your company, I'd be happy to do that. Just get in touch with us. You can go to our website, standamerica.us, and you will find the Truth Tour pop-up that comes up as soon as you get to the website. If you click on that, it will give you information. The email address to request me to come is truthtour@standinc.net. That's truthtour@standinc.net. Or you can call us at 757-375-6444. Or you can get in touch with AFR and tell them, hey, I'd like to talk to Bishop Jackson, or have an opportunity to invite him. How do I reach him? And of course, the AFR staff will be happy to connect us. So feel free, because folks, I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing it because I love this country and because I want to get the truth out about the United States of America. And I hope prepare our young people, our posterity, every American for that matter, who is willing to hear the truth, to understand why some of us are so in love with this country. And, you know, I say the first reason, frankly, is that America is a gift from Almighty God. America is a providential nation. It is God's gift to us. And in my humble opinion, but of course I think I'm right, it is the greatest gift that God has ever given to a group of people other than himself. In other words, and when I say himself, I mean the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I mean the Messiah of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I mean the presence and power of God manifesting in our lives. I'm talking about, when I say God himself, I mean the total package of all that God has done for us. That's the greatest gift. God said to Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. But I believe this too, that the second greatest gift God has ever given to any group of people on the face of the earth is the United States of America. Because this is the place where the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ability to fulfill one's God-given gifts and talents and abilities, the ability to project the gospel around the world, the charity of this country, the sense of love and responsibility that we've shown to the world, not with a lot of mushy gushy stuff, but by giving and helping. I think I mentioned the Venezuelan earthquake last night. Who do you think is going to give the most to help the people in Venezuela? You got it, the people of the United States of America. And it's going to be a fairly equal equation between our government giving and the people themselves giving, because that's the kind of nation we are. There's never been anything like it. We are the exceptional nation. We're not an exceptional nation. We are the exceptional nation. So for those of us who understand all that, we are going to celebrate and enjoy the blessing that God has given us. We are going to, as the preamble to the Constitution says, we are going to keep working to secure the blessings of liberty. And those blessings come from Almighty God. The founding fathers understood that. Gouverneur Morris, who wrote the preamble, understood that. Great man of God, by the way, also very, very anti-slavery. Of course, unfortunately, our courts have decided that the preamble to the Constitution does not inform us what the Constitution really means, and how it should be understood and interpreted. I think they've been wrong all along about that. And I wish some brave jurist would say, you know, it's about time we stopped excluding the preamble to the Constitution, because there's a reason why the founding fathers put it in there. It is part of the Constitution of the United States, because it sets the tone for the Constitution of the United States. And when they signed the document, the preamble was on it. But You know, I digress. The point is, never been a nation like us. And praise God for it. So I don't know what you plan to do, but enjoy family and enjoy your friends and have a good time. Enjoy the picnics and the fireworks and all of the things that are going to be happening that day in communities around the country. I just feel sorry for those people who have declared that they're not going to participate just because, you know. Not only are they missing July 4th, they're missing the whole point. If they got the point, they would be grateful like you and I are. Now look, today's a big day in and of itself because we had two major decisions come down from the Supreme Court today. By the way, I'll give you the bad news first. President Trump has rightly sought to correct the misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment to provide birthright citizenship for anybody and everybody who manages to get across our border and have a baby. That's never what it was intended to do. Of course, the founding fathers, those who wrote the 14th Amendment, could not have imagined how people would grossly and perversely misinterpret, perhaps even intentionally, misinterpret the meaning and intent of the 14th Amendment. Of course, we all know the history. The 14th Amendment was only for the purpose of assuring that the former Africans who had been brought here as slaves generations earlier, that their descendants and the people born to them would in fact be citizens of the United States of America, and that that would be enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. Now, there you go. That was the point. The point was not to give every Tom, Dick, and Harry and every woman they could send from anywhere around the world the ability to secure American citizenship by sending some woman here to have a baby here. That was not the point. And I don't mean to be cavalier about this, and I don't mean to in any way be disrespectful of having a baby, because of course I'm pro-life. But if you're not an American citizen, coming here on a vacation, you know, birthright tourism, as it's referred to, is not something that the Constitution intended to allow. Unfortunately, we have some justices who just don't seem to understand the importance of the historic context of the 14th Amendment, and they are simply going along with, you know, it's saying, if, well, since everybody's been wrong for 100 years about what it means, we can't contradict that. Well, why not? I don't care if they've been wrong for 200 years. Let's make it right. And anybody who interprets the Constitution of the United States that the 14th Amendment to allow birthright citizenship at anybody born here is wrong. Now, let me say, I understand that if you simply read the language, you could easily read it that way and say, well, that's what it means. But it just seems to me you can't read the language in 2026 without making reference to what the language meant in 1787. What was intended in 1787? But, of course, that may not be when the 14th Amendment, that wasn't when the 14th Amendment was passed. I think it took a couple of years for that to happen. But you get my point. In the 1780s or early 1790s, that the question is what it meant then, not what it means now to people who are interpreting it for the wrong reasons, for their own self-interest. I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The Lord Jesus, He's a providing shepherd. He's a guiding shepherd. He's a restoring shepherd. He's a present shepherd. He's an almighty shepherd, a comforting shepherd, a protecting shepherd, an anointing shepherd, a shepherd that can be trusted, and an eternal shepherd as well. Father, thank you for being our good and great shepherd, a shepherd that helps us in every area of our life. Father, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of every listener with a fresh anointing that we would, in a much greater way, know how to take the wonderful and powerful Word of God and use it like the weapon that it is to walk forward in victory every single day. Help us to be wise enough to not only memorize Psalm 23, but to speak it and to stand on it and confess it as the weapon that it is as we speak your word in all the circumstances of life.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And we're back. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on American Family Radio. By the way, folks, pray for me because I was going to our website to read to you the constitutional amendment that we developed in our organization a couple of years ago for birthright citizenship to deal with that particular problem. And believe it or not, I'm being blocked from going to that site for some reason or other, going to that petition. I don't quite understand why, but I have to tell you that we were doing some staff meeting today and we were talking about our emails, and we found out that only 1% of the emails that we send out to Gmail addresses, only 1% actually get opened. And going to other addresses, it's much, much higher. And we've had trouble with Google before. We had at one point Google completely blocked our email address, believe it or not. I don't mean our emails were going to spam a lot. I mean, they completely blocked it. So nothing sent from Stand America could go anywhere to any Gmail address. It was completely and totally blocked. We never got an explanation. We had to change our email address in order to get around it. So these, you know, here we are at the 250th anniversary of our country. We ought to be celebrating our First Amendment, celebrating the liberty that God has given us. And there are people who are still engaged in every kind of censorship you can imagine and every kind of effort you can imagine to deplatform those of us who love God and love our country. But I'll get that to you. And we will correct that. And we'll figure out what's going on there. But in the meantime, you can go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us. If you click on petition, and then you'll see what comes up. What comes up is the Anchor Baby scam petition, and that shows you the constitutional amendment that we have proposed to deal with this whole Anchor Baby problem. But unfortunately, right now, an organization called Salsa Labs, which I don't even understand why they have anything to do with that particular aspect, because they're our database. They have nothing to do with our website. So. But it won't be the first time curious things have happened. But leaving that aside for the moment, let's go on to other things. Now, by the way, the reason we have a constitutional amendment on birthright citizenship is I predicted that the Supreme Court was not going to uphold President Trump's and my view. I knew they wouldn't. And they didn't. And unfortunately, some of the conservative justices that President Trump has appointed side with the Democrats, because that's what it said. But these justices should be people of the law, but they're not. They're people of politics. And they're more committed to their ideology. The leftists are. They're more committed to their ideology than they are to the truth and than they are to the law. But nevertheless, of course, some of them sided with the opposition in saying, no, birthright citizenship means no matter who you are, no matter how you got here, if you are born here, you are automatically a citizen. And that's not what the 14th Amendment was intended to say. By the way, in essence, the constitutional amendment we propose simply says, unless at least one biological parent of a child is an American citizen, that child is not an American citizen by birth, no matter where that child is born. So if you're born right in the center of the country, I think Kansas City is supposed to be the center of the country. If you're born right in the center of the country, but both of your parents are non-citizens of the United States, you are not a citizen, period. And I don't think that the authors of the 14th Amendment could have imagined that we come to a time when people would be saying, yeah, if you're communist China and you want to undermine America, all you got to do is send a bunch of women in there who are pregnant, let them have babies, bring those babies back to China, inculcate them, indoctrinate them, propagandize them with a bunch of communist ideology, and then when they get older, send them back to the United States of America with the proofs of citizenship so they can undermine that country from within. I guarantee you that the authors of the 14th Amendment didn't have that in mind. I guarantee you. But sadly, that's what we've got. And I'm trying to get for you, because I didn't have that. That decision just came down here just in, well, I guess, the last 2 or 3 hours. And I didn't have the exact justices who voted for what I call the subversive view of birthright citizenship, because that's what it is. To me, it's a subversive view. But which of those judges, here we go, upheld birthright citizenship? I guarantee you this. John Roberts did. I guarantee you that. I think Coney Barrett did as well. Amy Coney Barrett did as well. Because that's what the conservatives sometimes do. But thank God. Yeah, Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Roberts. Those two. Yep. They sided with the liberals. And therefore it became a 6-3 decision. Four liberals and two conservatives. You know, the interesting thing is the liberals never, ever side with conservatives, ever. Not on any major policy issue, ever. But for some reason, the conservatives, I guess they feel duty bound. And I guess they feel that, you know, if they want to get invited to the Washington, D.C. cocktail parties and they want to be well thought of, they got to go along a little bit. They got to, you know, kind of go along to get along. Let me leave it at that, because, you know, I was at a rally outside the Supreme Court in behalf of Amy Coney Barrett, and she's not always bad. I mean, it could be a lot worse. She could be Ketanji Brown Jackson, so it could be a lot worse. But I'll tell you, the only two Supreme Court justices I trust are Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas. That's it. The others, I don't. To me, you just don't know. You just don't know. I mean, it was Gorsuch, who wrote the Bostock opinion upholding same-sex marriage. And Gorsuch also defined Title VII of the Civil Rights Act as the word sex. He defined it as including sexual orientation, which is the second major Supreme Court case that came down today, which is, it was a major victory for President Trump, which is they upheld the state bans on biological men thinking they're women, playing on women's sports teams, using women's locker rooms, and showering in women's showers. They upheld the ban on that. Now, I think they should have gone one step further and said, but that may have not been the case that was before them, but a case needs to come before them and say, is putting men on women's sports discrimination against women? And in my view, it absolutely is. because it is denying that woman the equal protection of law. Because the reality is that men and women are different at the cellular level, folks, at the cellular level. Do you know that every cell in every major organ of your body, every cell in every major organ of your body is either a male or female cell? It has either the XX or XY chromosome. Every cell that has a nucleus in it has either an XX or XY chromosome. We are male or female at the cellular level. But interestingly, now the conservatives held on this one. But interesting, you know the three women who voted against that? Who voted against those bans? Three women, three liberal women. Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. Now, you just, all I can say is that is not constitutional jurisprudence. That is just cult-like adherence. That's all that is. Because any five-year-old knows. Look, my granddaughter is 4 years old. She knows the difference between male and female. And she's only four. So what is the excuse of these people? Well, they're blinded by ideology. And they bought into it lock, stock, and barrel. That's why these people like this that are committed to this radical ideological perspective, I don't think they should ever be on the bench, because that's what they are committed to doing. They're committed to furthering their ideological agenda, not to furthering the Constitution or to upholding the Constitution or the principles of the Constitution. But one victory, at least on that count. But the birthright citizenship issue, that one was lost, and that's a big one. But I really believe that the American people would vote for a constitutional amendment. I believe that. I believe even in some blue states, you'd have enough Americans to say, look, you can't have Chinese people being sent here and having children and then taking them home and back to China and indoctrinating them, sending them back here as American citizens to infiltrate us from within. We can't have that. And that is, in fact, the subversive effect of interpreting birthright citizenship in the broad and expansive way the court has chosen to interpret it. You know, believe me, folks, it conjures up some bad thoughts about these people. It really does. And in terms of their commitment, their loyalty to the United States of America and to the Constitution of the United States, I don't think those two are in conflict. I think if you are loyal to the country, you are loyal to the Constitution. And if you're really loyal to the Constitution, you're loyal to what the intent of the founders and the framers was at the time that they crafted the Constitution and then later the Bill of Rights. Now, why is that so hard to understand? By the way, I'm sorry, I think I've referred to the 14th Amendment is happening sometime around 1787. I'm completely wrong about that. I got my dates all messed up because obviously the 14th Amendment was not passed until after the Civil War. So it came much, much later. But still, the same principle applies. What did the framers intend? What did the authors intend? So forgive me for getting my history a little bit confused there. But what did they intend? They certainly didn't intend what we've got. That's for sure. Well, in the meantime, the country still has a lot to celebrate, okay? Because I really believe that God is doing a magnificent thing in this country. And the fact that 250th is happening right now in the midst of revivals breaking out on college campuses and an administration where people are not afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and willing to express their faith in Jesus. I even heard, and you all may have seen this, I did not see this, I'm trying to remember who told me about it. In fact, I remember who told me about it. Actually, I think it was Alex McFarlane who said that J.D. Vance, when asked while being interviewed, I think by Sean Hannity, about his wife being Hindu, that J.D. Vance actually said, well, yeah, you know, I wish that my wife would come around to my way of thinking, or something to that effect. Now, I'm paraphrasing. But if Alex McFarlane heard that right, well, that's encouraging. Because that's been one of my issues. You know, America's not a Hindu nation. And we can't embrace Hindu ideas and values. Hinduism, folks, is rank idolatry. It's demonic. And no Christian, and of course he's married now. I mean, he can't divorce the woman because she's a Hindu. And he probably wasn't a man of faith at that time or thinking along those lines, but apparently maybe he is now. He had to pray for her and pray that the Lord will touch her heart and she will come away from that. But that gives me some encouragement, because that was one of the problems. At one point he was saying, yeah, I'm glad that my children get to experience, you know, Christianity and Hinduism. I mean, nobody needs to experience Hinduism. People need to stay away from it, because it is as far from God as you can get. And all you have to do, you don't need 5 minutes worth of reading and study of Hinduism to see, oh my goodness, wow, what? But again, praise God. See, I think that's part of the revival, the awakening that is going on, that people are beginning to step up and express openly their faith in God. And even some people are saying, you know, I never did before, but I really feel like it's important that I do so now. Even people who already had faith but were never willing to express it. Something is happening. Now, I've always said God didn't put it in the hearts of our founding fathers to give us this great nation, to see the devil rip it away from us, and that he cannot do that unless we surrender to him. But if we are willing to stand up for America, I do not believe God will allow America to be taken out of the hands of his people and put into the hands of the wicked. I just don't believe it. And therefore, we're going to fight the good fight of faith, no matter what they say about us, no matter how they talk about us, no matter what Google tries to do to me or my organization. We're going to continue to fight the good fight of faith and stand up for what we know is right, because we know who's already won the battle. All right, folks. Well, I've got the 250th on my mind, as you can see. A couple of other issues. But look, I want to start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And when we come back from this break, I'll start taking your calls. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson, in for Abraham Hamilton III. Back in a moment.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net. Exploring Missions with Pastors Bert and Nathan Harper.
When I became a Christian believer, I felt that God was calling me to go to North India as a witness.
We focus on the most vulnerable in the Metro Atlanta area.
Operation Care International is started in Dallas, and now we have partnered with 52 countries.
Exploring Missions explores missions. Find it on the podcast page at afr.net.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in its task in fulfilling the Great Commission. The vision of American Family Association is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
We're back. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. By the way, I checked it during the break, and indeed, Vice President Vance, although I didn't see this myself, it was Brother Alex McFarland told me about it, but apparently, yes, J.D. Vance at a Turning Point event did tell the crowd that he wishes his wife would eventually be moved by the Christian gospel, but that the conversion, of course, her conversion is not a requirement of their relationship. Well, it can't be now. You're married, and you don't have the right to divorce her because she's not a Christian, because you made that decision before she was a Christian. But apparently, not only did he say it, but apparently the left went crazy and said that he was being disrespectful of his wife's Hindu faith. Well, I got news for you. I got news for them. I don't have to respect the Hindu faith. I have to respect a human being. I have to respect the lie that they believe. And Hinduism is a lie. So let's not mince words here. Play games. And he didn't say anything as harsh as what I've just said. He just expressed the hope that she would be saved, in effect. And why wouldn't you? If you love her, you want her to be saved. And Hinduism can't save anybody. All Hinduism can do is send people to hell. But the left went crazy and said it was inappropriate. It was an inappropriate public disrespect of her religious choices. Oh, give me a break. You know, he set all of us, which what this should do is set all of us to praying for his wife, that she will come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and come out of that idolatry. How's that? I'll take it a step further. Let's pray that she not go to hell, but that she will, when she leaves this earth, will go to heaven because she has got her ticket stamped by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't owe anybody an apology for saying it, publicly or not. I mean, as a Christian, he needed to say it. Thank God he did say it. It doesn't mean he doesn't love her or respect her. But you know, you've heard me say this before. I owe my first loyalty not even to my wife, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he that doesn't hate father and mother and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, he didn't mean you have to actually hate anybody, because he didn't teach that. What he was saying is, compared to your commitment to him, your commitment to others should so pale in significance that it might even look like hatred. So, for example, when they came and told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, they want to talk to you. Jesus said, who is my mother and my brothers but those who do the will of my Father? And kept on preaching. Was that an act of hatred? Absolutely not. But it was an act of putting God first in his priorities and saying, I'm going to do the will of my Heavenly Father first. I don't care what my family or anybody else says about it. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. And listen, you can comment about anything I've said or anything you want to bring up. Particularly those two Supreme Court cases, if you want to comment on that. The birthright citizenship case is sad, but what I expected. I think we need a constitutional amendment to straighten the situation out, because in the years to come, that is going to come back to haunt us big time. And you know who is laughing and gleefully rejoicing over that decision? The Communist Party of China. And all of our other enemies as well, who know that they now have a way that they too can infiltrate this country. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go first to Chuck in Mississippi. Chuck, welcome.
Hey, Bishop.
Good. How you doing, Chuck?
To you. I've listened to you a lot. I'm one of your friends. You just hadn't met me yet.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my friend.
But we'll get to spend eternity together, so that's going to be great.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, you know, with I'm so thankful to God. I was, you know, about all the good things and getting to celebrate this 250th birthday of our nation. And I was talking to a gal today. She was talking about a lot of the people that are here from South Africa and some places in Europe also that are just aghast at the goodness of America. They had no idea. Their news must be tainted like ours is in many cases. But anyway, that was so good to hear. But I wanted to thank God for you being a part of overturning Roe back in 22 and some of the great people. I talked to the gal that introduced that bill. She told me that they had introduced that bill once before and it failed, but they felt that they were supposed to do it again, and then it overturned Roe. I used to pray, God, let Mississippi be a part of that, and he did that for us. But anyway, I think we need to carry this to the next step. I think we've got to stop this chemical abortion in America. We got to start here in Mississippi. And I was thinking this morning as I was praying, you know, if every Sunday school class would make a decision, and I take this out of Luke 18 where this widow lady goes to, then you know the story, we all know it, where she goes to the unjust judge.
Right.
And and I know that's on prayer, but I think it has other application to us.
Amen.
And
amen.
I believe that...
Go ahead, real quick, finish up your remarks because we got some other people waiting.
Okay, all I'm saying is we've got to repent from abortion, and every Sunday school class ought to send delegates to their congressmen and senators and everybody they can go to and say we've got to stop it and keep appealing to our officials because we've got to go through the House and the Senate and through our leaders. And,
got it, Chuck. Chuck, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. I couldn't agree more, though. We've got to transform America into a pro-life culture once and for all. So thank you for the call, Chuck. Let's go. Also in Mississippi, let's go to Kevin. Kevin, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Bishop Jackson. God bless you and everything you're doing for our country and promoting things that were not taught or not taught in the schools these days.
Amen.
My question, sir, is regarding the First Amendment auditors that we're seeing on YouTube and such. I personally put myself as a auditor, an independent photojournalist, and being honoring to God, promoting one of our First Amendments as being press out in public, taking video, photographs, and things, and disseminating it to the public. Wanted to get your thoughts on First Amendment auditors.
Amen. Well, look, thank you for the call, Kevin. Appreciate that. I think it's wonderful. I think it's, and not only that, it's essential. Because, you know, the sad thing is, we no longer have an honest journalist profession anymore. We just don't. Not the professional legacy media. They're not honest journalists. They are ideologues, and they have a particular agenda. Like Scott Pelley, you know, he couldn't believe that he could possibly be fired after denouncing his managers and saying all this stupid leftist nonsense that somehow they just think they're so far above the rest of us that their job is to try to indoctrinate us, not inform us. And so I think without these First Amendment auditors, without these the freelance journalists, if you will, who are going out revealing things that the press simply won't report on, I mean, we won't know it. I mean, I've said this before, folks, and I'm not one of these journalists, but I do my best to try to keep you all informed. There are 704 murdered children since the Defund the Police movement began. 704 murdered children in the inner cities. And you get one incident between a police officer and a young black man, and it's the be all and end all. Oh, this is what's this, this is the problem. This is what's killing black people, and it's a lie out of the pit of hell. But you will never get journalists to cover the fact that we've got really effectively a genocide against young children. And who are they being killed by? I said, not a single one killed by a cop. Not a single one even killed by some of these racist groups that are Southern Poverty Law Center was financing. They're all being killed by young black men. But you know what? The media doesn't cover it. They don't talk about that because it doesn't fit the narrative. They got to find the one story that they can put some kind of racial spin on so that everybody will be ginned up. Ooh, oh, 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 look at the racist. Look how racist America is. That's why these foreigners come here and they see us all working together and playing together and watching sports together. And they're, wow, this is not what we were told America is. Because they're being lied to. Just like the American people are being lied to. 888-589-8840. We got a few moments and we got some open lines. We'll take some more calls. Let's go to Brian in Texas. Brian, welcome.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say thank you for speaking the truth about J.D. Vance and his wife and Hinduism. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in the same boat as J.D. My wife's not saved and, you know, I've been married for 20 some odd years and I just want to see her saved, and amen. I just hadn't been able to get there. I mean, I try to be the example by going to church and all that, but I'd also like to ask for prayer for my wife that she would be saved.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for the call, brother. And you probably touched a lot of people just now because there are probably a lot of people in similar circumstances who made those decisions before they were saved or didn't know, understand what the Word of God teaches about being unequally yoked. But once you're married, you are married. And you're supposed to be faithful in that relationship. And you're right. Pray. So, Brian, we're going to pray for your wife right now. And we're going to pray for J.D. Vance's wife right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know our hearts. They are not hearts of hatred. They're not hearts of bitterness or resentment against those who are unsaved, but hearts of love toward them. J.D. Vance's wife is a Hindu, and Lord God, and he loves his wife, and his children love their mother, and so it should be. But Lord, we know that Hinduism is not salvific. It can't save anybody. It's a pathway to hell. We pray that she'll come out of it. Brian's wife, Lord, I'm not sure what she believes, but Lord God, there's only one way to heaven, and there's only one way to true fulfillment in this world even, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, move mightily upon not only those two women, but women and men, for that matter, all over this nation who are in relationships, Lord, where they have a spouse who knows and loves you, but they don't. Lord, I have such people even in my church. I mean, I understand it perfectly. And Lord, it's difficult. But Father God, we know that you are the God of all comfort and you can make a way out of no way. And so we pray for their salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, folks, I'm sure my son will not mind me telling this story, but my son grew up in church and was taught to love the Lord. And, you know, to hear my children tell him we had him in church all the time, you know, so. But, you know, like me, you know, he ran. I certainly did. I was raised in the church, particularly when I was in foster care. I was taken to church all the time. I was taken to church, but the church didn't take. It didn't take in me. And, you know, God touched my son in a mighty way. I guess now about 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, just absolutely transformed his life. And his wife wasn't saved when they got married. But several years before that, God touched her and saved her. So now they're both loving God, serving God, active in their church. They've got businesses that are dedicated to God, and it's just a wonderful thing to behold. So I say that to give all of you hope. Don't give up on that loved one. Just keep loving them, and don't hesitate to tell them the truth. Sometimes they may not want to hear it, and you know I'm not saying beat people over the head because of course they can get tired, but just every time you get a chance, just let them know that God loves them, has a great plan for them, and there's really only one answer to everything that ails us, and his name is Jesus. Well, look, happy 250th to all of you. And may it be a tremendous blessing to all of you to witness this historic occasion. And thank God for all of you and for all of those who have gone before us to make it possible for us to celebrate this great occasion. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.